Hi, welcome to another edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show. I'm Ryan Ballingy, and it's great to have you here with us. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at Ryan Ballingy. You can get a hold of Golf News Net on your favorite social media service at Golf News Net. Find all of our work at golfnewsnet.com. Download our apps for the Amazon Fire TV and Roku. And we're happy to have you here. We are presented by 2Under, and they're the purveyors of asset management. We've been talking to you for weeks about 2Under, how comfortable everything that they make is, from their loungewear to their undershirts to their socks to, yes, their underwear. Their underwear is the best there is, period, end of story. Their Joey pouch keeps your assets nice and dry, exactly where they need to be, whether that's on the golf course, in the office, hanging out with friends, in your bed, wherever you need to be. 2Under and the Joey pouch is there for you. If you head over to 2Under.com, the number 2UNDR.com, and use the promo code GNN20, you're going to get 20% off your entire purchase, which includes the best athletic underwear that there is. Whether you're playing golf, going to the gym, or doing something else with your day, 2Under has you covered and has your assets perfectly managed. We have a guest on this week's show. It's Vikash Daniel, who is one of the co-founders of Brainstorm Golf. And Vikash is a really amazing guy. I met him for the first time in person at the PGA Merchandise Show. But we have been talking toward the tail end of last year about his product, the Happy Putter Eyeline Series. I own the original Happy Putter, and I got that through a deal that we did with one of our friends, who a retail partner, playbetter.com. And I really enjoyed the putter because it was unique. And it was unique because you could adjust pretty much everything about the original Happy Putter. Lie angle, shaft angle, which I guess is the lie angle, face firmness, so you could have a softer face, a regular face, a firm face. You could have varying degrees of weight movement. You could pretty much do everything other than adjust the length of the shaft to mix up with the putter. And it was an incredible product, it still is, it's still for sale, and a number of players, especially on the LPGA, used it. And we wrote a review about it, and every time that putter, the original Happy Putter, was on TV, we would get a flood of people who come to our website trying to figure out what in the world this was. And not knowing that, Vikash and his folks came to us at the tail end of last year wanting to tell us about the Eyeline series, and when I had that first conversation with him, it made so much sense. What he was saying, and what you'll hear from him later on in the show, sounds so logical. I was like, well, all right, I'm buying in. Let's give it a try. And so I've been playing golf with him, with the Eyeline series. I have the blade. I also have a mallet here, which we'll give away at a certain point, but I'm a blade guy. And I've been using it for last six, seven rounds I've been able to play. Unfortunately, I've had a very wet and not so great golf winter here in the D.C. area. I love it. I love it because it helps me feel confident over the ball that I'm aiming where I think I'm aiming. And that makes me a much better putter inside 7 feet where I kind of struggle. And so we formed a relationship based on my feedback from the putter that I just thought it was great, and that I wanted to do something with them to let people know about this product and that they should be using it, and that they don't have to. There's a reason why you should buy this putter, and it means that you don't have to chuck it when you start feeling like it's not working. And Vikash will get into that a little bit. We call it lazy eye syndrome. It is real. It is very real. And I think once you hear our conversation, you'll understand what we're talking about. And you will find yourself nodding because you're like, yeah, that does happen to me. So excited to bring you that interview a little bit later on in the show. I wanted to talk briefly about not a podcast interview that I did, but something that came out of a podcast interview that I did with our friend Bill Hobson from Michigan Golf Live and the Four Golfers Network. And he had me on his podcast last week, and we started talking about Paige Spiranak, who is in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. And she's in there, part at the pressing of Alan Shipnick, who is a tremendous writer and has had good experiences with Paige. I believe he's done a profile of her. So he has gotten to know her a little bit, and by all accounts, not only from Alan, but from other people, that I've talked to that have had interactions with Paige. I've never met her. She's awesome. She's great. She's engaging. She's fun. She's a good person. And that's the kind of person you want to deal with in life, right? So the interesting thing to me in doing all of this, in doing the interview with Bill, was that he kind of came from it, I think, a little bit more conservatively, and was wondering that her exposure in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue would be a bad thing for her or for golf, and whether or not she could be taken seriously because she posed in a swimsuit and actually nude in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, and that because she built a following on Instagram based on doing trick shots and wearing form-fitting clothing, and that she then couldn't be taken seriously when she talks about cyberbullying or feeling bullied for her appearance and earlier in life, and also now that she's internet famous and has millions of people who are interested in her every move, and most of those people are dudes. I don't know that I agree with Bill's sentiment, and I was trying to think about it as we were doing it, and I thought about it some more after we had the conversation. And you can listen to the interview. I would encourage you to. But I think that my takeaway from Paige being in the swimsuit issue is, who cares? I don't. I mean, I do, because she's happy and she seemed to want to do it, and she wasn't coerced into doing it, and she seems proud of what the product was. So what's wrong with that? I don't see any problem with that. She made a personal decision when she was approached by Sports Illustrated to do this. She said, yeah, I'm going to do it. I think it's empowering to me to pose in this swimsuit issue and pose for a couple of nude photos that kind of, Allie Reisman did it too, the Olympic gymnast, who has been a tremendous advocate in the Larry Nassar scandal and is just taking no shit kind of lady, and from what I can tell. And Paige wanted to do the same thing with the idea that you can feel empowered by being proud of your appearance and being proud of who you are and how you look, and you don't have to compromise that you basically shouldn't have to expect in return that men are going to leer at you or say really awful things to you. If you look at, I don't go on Instagram much, but from my experience of having seen Paige's posts in the past, and I always kind of look at the comments. I try to tell people, I try to tell my parents when I worked at Yahoo, don't read the comments. They're awful. It's the worst place on the internet. The comment section of anything is the worst place on the internet. And I couldn't help myself. And you just see just horrible comment after horrible comment. Something that you couldn't get away with saying to her face, or to any woman's face for that matter. And it's kind of revolting. And I think that the first impulse of a lot of people is, well, Paige shouldn't have posted that picture or video that way. She's inviting that. No, she's not inviting that. She is proud of her appearance. She is proud of her golf talent. She's proud of who she is and what she stands for. And if part of being proud of who she is involves wearing form-fitting clothing, that's her choice. But I don't think it is your right to be able to tell her things that are absolutely gross and off-putting. That's not what she's asking for. I mean, she obviously, there's an implication there that she is good-looking, and she probably realizes that, but that doesn't give you the right to just say whatever comes out of your second brain out of your mouth. It just doesn't, and that's not how it works. I mean, if you saw a good-looking woman in public and were attracted to her, you wouldn't just, I would hope not. If you do, please unsubscribe. But you wouldn't walk up to her and basically share some of the comments that people write on Instagram. You wouldn't do that. You would be embarrassed for yourself. Whoever you're with would be embarrassed for you. And if it were your wife that were with you, she would smack the shit out of you. And rightfully so, by the way. So I understand that there is a concern, I guess, from especially the older generations of guys who are like, well, how am I supposed to react to that? I think what she's doing is good looking and she's beautiful. What am I supposed to say? Nothing. Don't say anything. You don't have to. You are not required to have a response. You are not required to have at least a verbal response or a written one in the case of Instagram comments. I guess the thing I keep thinking about is the fallacy that our opinion matters. And I say this with a lot of irony and self-awareness as a guy who produces opinion pieces, writes tweets, criticizing things, and is doing this segment right now. But there is a fallacy, I believe, and it's especially predominant among guys who have obviously run the world since the beginning. There is a fallacy that our opinion, as individuals and collectively as dudes, matters more than anything else. Matters more than a woman's opinion. Matters more than another man's opinion. We feel that because we've been empowered and given the power and taken the power of society, that we can just say whatever the hell we want and that everyone should kowtow to that. That because I feel a certain way, I feel I should be allowed to say leery things at women. Hypothetically, I do not feel that way. But, you know, as a man, you feel that way, then she should be able to accept that and deal with that. And if she doesn't want to deal with that, she should change. No, that's not how it works. No, it's not how it ever should have worked, and it's certainly not how it works now. That's the kind of thing that costs you your job and your livelihood these days. And maybe that's too far of a penalty, but, and I don't, we got to come down somewhere on that, and that's to be determined in the future. But I feel like it's not your right to tell someone what you think. You can. I mean, you have an opinion. You have a First Amendment right to express yourself in public. But it doesn't mean that it matters. It doesn't mean that Paige should care what you think of her body or her trick shots or her professional golf prowess or anything. It doesn't. It doesn't. She shouldn't have to care. Because she doesn't care. And that's her prerogative, and it's your prerogative, I guess, to say things that make you look bad on the internet as a human being. But it is also perfectly acceptable to find Paige Spironak attractive. That's okay, too. There's nothing wrong with that. But the way that you deal with that, the way that you deal with the way you find Paige attractive, should really have nothing to do with her. Not like you're going to date her. I'm pretty sure she's attached to some guy, and she could pick pretty much any guy out of a lineup on planet Earth and date them if they're available. So that doesn't mean anything. And I guess if you kind of can't deal with that yourself, then that's your problem. Again, that's not her problem. It's not her fault. It's just not. And so that whole conversation extends then to golf. You know, is Paige good for golf? Is she helping golf by being in the Sports Illustrated issue? I don't care, for one, and it doesn't matter for two. She is a human being who made a choice as a human being, not as a representative of golf, not as an Instagram famous person. She made a choice as a human being to appear in that issue. That has literally no implication in my mind for whether people enjoy golf or not. It just doesn't. I don't think people are going to take up golf because they see Paige Spironak on Instagram. Just like I don't think necessarily people are going to take up golf because they had a good time at Topgolf. The causation between those two things is really hard to imagine, for one, and two, prove. So I guess my struggle is trying to understand what anything is good for golf or not. I think golf, and this, now we're going to get into a little bit broader conversation, steer away from Paige. Golf worries about itself too much. Golf worries too much that every little thing that it does is something every human being's going to notice. And that's not the case. And it bothers me to no end, especially, and this is when you hear politicians or other people talk, I was always taught not to use the words all, many, most when you're trying to talk about a group of people. That you don't you haven't studied and you don't understand because you can't speak for them. You hear politicians all the time say, most Americans or all Americans are aware or feel that. They have no idea. Have you talked to every American? Because I sure as hell haven't. I probably talked to a few thousand Americans in my life, and I definitely do not feel like I could represent the opinion of every American in any conversation on any topic. And so when we say something about a broad generalization about a certain action or a certain person's actions as it relates to the sport, I think it's a logical fallacy. That's not true. If you think about the number of people who listen to this show, anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 people per episode listen to this show. And you're representative of golfers, but you're not representative of every golfer. And so the things that we talk about here are an interesting conversation for us to have, but I don't think for a single second that anything we talk about here has a broader impact on sport, on the sport. It just doesn't. And there, if you think about, I think there were, 23, 24 million people in the United States that play golf. That's the broad estimate of people that actually play golf, not people that go to Topgolf. That's a different thing. I'm sorry it is. But let's say we have 24 million people playing golf in the United States. Well, the biggest trafficked website about golf, not professional golf, is maybe Golf Digest or golf.com, and they reach maybe 3 to 4 million people a month, on a good month. So 3 million people a month. If it's 3 million people a month, you're representing 1/8 of the sport. That's more representative, yeah, but it's not everybody. And our sport doesn't do a good job of talking to everybody, which I think is why we so frequently worry about what we say, that it's going to affect everybody because we know we don't know how to talk to everybody. We don't know how to talk to the normal person out there who doesn't play golf because there are way more people. There are 90% of Americans who don't play golf, at least. More like 93% of Americans don't play golf. Now, plenty of them have interest in playing golf. Maybe 30% of Americans additionally have interest in playing golf. Even still, that's like 1/3 of Americans have some kind of interest in or do play golf. So we don't know how to talk to that 1/3 very well. And we definitely don't know how to talk to the 2/3 that have no interest in golf at all. And we're not going to get them because we don't know how to talk to them. And then, conversely, we worry so much about the minutiae of keeping the people that we've got that are trying to attract those new people that we don't worry, you know, we kind of overemphasize the impact on the people that we've got. Paige Spiranek has nothing to do with whether or not I play golf tomorrow. It has nothing to do with whether my son, who's 5, plays golf. It has probably very little to do with whether my son, when he's 14, plays golf. It just, there is no connection there. So kudos to Paige for making a personal decision to do what she wanted to do to be in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. She understands there are probably consequences with that. Some, many, not deserved. The comments in particular, definitely not deserved. She can be perceived as a representative of the sport. I'm sure she understands that. And I'm sure she realizes there's criticism that will come from that from conservative corners. That she knows that, and I don't believe she will raise her hand and go, I'm being bullied because of that. That I don't believe that's what she's... I don't believe that's how she internalizes things. What I think she means and what she's trying to raise awareness of is that you can be beautiful and you can be talented and you can put yourself out in the public, which is really difficult to do. And I say that as a guy who's an F-level person in terms of being a public person. And you can do that and be proud of who you are and not have to take other people's crap. And that if you don't like what she's doing, then don't pay attention to it. It's that simple. You have so many choices with what to do with your time and your attention that you don't have to care. So keep doing your thing, Paige. Don't let anyone drag you down. And for you, keep doing what you're doing. The only things that matter in life, to at least in my view, are your family and your friends. And if you've got faith, faith matters. Other than that, pretty much nothing else matters. Keep those people close to you. Keep the people you love close to you. And cultivate those friendships and relationships. And hopefully they're healthy and happy. That's it. Nobody else's opinion matters. Nobody else's world matters. But if we can all come together and make it a little bit better of a place, then we've accomplished something pretty good, I think. All right, let's talk a little bit about our friends at Health IQ. We've been telling you for weeks about our friends at Health IQ, because Health IQ helps you, the active person, because you are a golfer who better be walking, help get you lower life insurance rates. Health IQ saves their customers anywhere from 4 to 33% on their life insurance premiums, and they do that in a way very similar to the way that you save on car insurance. Just like with car insurance, you save money with your car insurance when you don't have accidents, and you don't have tickets, and you don't have driving problems. Well, Health IQ saves you money when you take care of your body's engine. You take care of yourself, and that means whether you're a runner, or a vegan, or you belong to a gym, or you walk when you play golf, or you can demonstrate that you're part of a running club, all kinds of different ways that you can prove that you are taking care of yourself and you're leading a health-conscious lifestyle. Health IQ works with top insurers, and 70% of their clients get top rates because they live a healthy lifestyle. And they work with these insurers that I have worked with personally in the past, including John Hancock, Transamerica, all kinds of people who do great life insurance premium work, life insurance policies that are good. And if you're saving money by being a health conscious person through Health IQ, that may mean you can score yourself a better life insurance plan with higher term, longer term, higher deductible or higher benefit if you're living a healthy lifestyle. So head over to healthiq.com/19, see if you qualify, check it out for yourself. I encourage pretty much anybody that I know that is interested in these kinds of products, go get a term life insurance plan. It's one of the smartest investments that you can make, the smartest what-if investments you can make out there, and Health IQ will help you save money. So go to healthiq.com/19 to find out if you qualify. All right, second half of the show, we have our guest, and he is Vikash Sanyal, and he is one of the men behind Brainstorm Golf. And we'll talk a little bit about Vikash's background, but Vikash is an accomplished dude in golf, and I don't know if tons of people have heard about what he's accomplished, him specifically, but I damn sure know that you've heard of the companies he's been behind. He's one of the co-creators of Odyssey Golf, which is obviously the biggest putter company in the world, which is pretty amazing. He was the guy who created that company that led to its purchase by Callaway Golf. Then, just a few years later, he created Never Compromise, which got to the third in terms of market position and was ultimately purchased by the gang at Cleveland Strixon. And he has now come back into the sport after a half dozen years away, realizing that there wasn't a lot happening in terms of putter innovation, and that a couple of years into Brainstorm Golf, realizing that putter innovation could be as simple as helping people line up putts better. And that's where the iAlign series comes from. So we wanted to have a conversation with Vikash about Brainstorm Golf, about how he came up with the iAlign series, what it means, how it works, how to get fitted, all those things. So please enjoy this conversation.
Vikash, thanks for being on the show with us. And I think hopefully people have either read or watched, depending on where you consumed it, my review of the Happy Putter and the iAlign series and what I think of it. And if you've played golf with me in the last 2 months, you've seen me play it, and I've probably proselytized to you about it. But can you give a sense of, before we get to the iAlign, your accomplishments in the golf industry are tremendous, especially obviously in the putting world. So let's give him some bona fides. Your background with Odyssey and Never Compromise is fantastic. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, I was blessed to be part of some great teams. And, yeah, I was there at the beginning of Odyssey and was one of the original crew that took that company from startup to the number one putter in golf. And that was a great experience and learned a lot. Really was blessed to have some great mentors, Mr. Callaway, who started Callaway Golf, and Gary Adams, who started TaylorMade Golf, kind of took me under their wings and really formed the majority of my business and product development philosophies. And so I don't think anybody could be more blessed than to have those two guys you know, distiller there with some upon you. And then when we sold, I actually left with some friends and who were also at Odyssey, and we started Never Compromise, another putter company that I think at one point was like the fastest growing putter of all time. And we really had some great fun there. We didn't get to number one. We got to number three in market share. Ultimately sold that company to Cleveland Golf, and yeah, that was a good run too. And then I kind of left for 10 years, but decided the putter market had grown a little bit stagnant maybe in terms of some technology and some boldness, and wanted to come back and give it another shot.
So what do you think putters and putter design kind of got into a rut? What happened there for that period of time while you were away from the golf industry that not much really happened?
You know, I mean, there's obviously wonderful putters being made by Odyssey and Scotty and Ping and TaylorMade. I mean, they're all great. And I think that maybe the rut that you describe is that the technology advancements were certainly there, but maybe they weren't quite as great as they were over the previous decades when you had multi-material technologies and you had obviously the Odyssey insert and the two ball. Those were all, you know, pretty big breakthroughs. I think that what you saw over the decade that passed after that was incremental changes, you know, improvements in roll face technology, improvements in alignment technology, but there wasn't anything that really made a consumer kind of take a step back and say, I have to have that putter. And I think that kind of along the same lines, when people weren't seeing anything that was kind of breathtaking, they were being still asked to pay an extra $150 because the average selling price for putters increased. You know, back in the Odyssey Never Compromise days, most of our putters sold for between $100 and $150. Now, if you look at the new offerings from the leaders, they're all over $300. And so I think the combination of the incremental steps and the increase in price just hasn't made sense to consumers.
I kind of get the sense in the current putter market that a lot of emphasis has been placed on one of two things, either MOI, which is certainly important, but playing around with weight, or something that gets the ball rolling forward a little bit more quickly. And that's kind of, this is the standard issue now. So there are incremental progress to be made in those fronts, but it's kind of hard to describe, almost kind of like a driver nowadays, where you say, all right, you're going to hit it longer, but it's incremental progress. You're not getting it 5 extra miles per hour ball speed. You're getting 1 or 2, and that should be a reason for you to spend $500, or in the case of a putter, $400. But you went a different route with the iLine series, and I feel like, I guess I don't understand why no one did this before. Why didn't someone really think about alignment and say to people, you're doing it all wrong, but you don't need to get a new putter every time you don't align putts correctly anymore? So what made you decide to focus on that, especially after the initial Happy Putter offering, which was the fully customizable, and still have it, the fully customizable putter that could change literally everything about the putter, and this time you went to focus on, all right, we're going to focus on alignment and get that right for people?
Yeah, I mean, you're smart. I mean, your comments about MOI and about roll face technology are spot on. That's almost the ante to play in the game. I mean, if you don't have a putter that's stable and you know, resistant to twist, and if you don't have some sort of pattern on your face that grips the ball and allows it to start rolling immediately, you know, you can't play with the big boys. And so everybody has their technologies that assist in those areas. But to your point about alignment, I don't know why. I mean, I'm grateful nobody else did it, because back we used to study at Odyssey and Never Compromise a lot about, you know, players and their tendencies on the greens, and it was always clear to us that alignment was the biggest thing that players struggled with on the greens. And so when we had our first putter, we went to the all adjustable putter, because we also know that if you don't have a putter that's fit to your needs, it's going to affect your stroke and your consistency. But what we found out was that the putter was almost too complicated for most golfers. And so when we thought about how to simplify our product and make it, you know, something that consumers would want to work with, you know, what do good putters do? You know, players who putt well, they do two things consistently. They line up accurately, and they control their distance well. And our putter is the only putter on the market at any price point that allows you to dial in those two features. And my point earlier about, you know, how most people, their biggest problem on the greens is alignment. We've proven that again this year with the Happy Putter, because over the last year, I've tested probably, you know, somewhere between 400 and 500 tour players, teaching professionals, club professionals, accomplished junior golfers. And we've only had one player line up accurately out of that number, which is pretty striking if you think about that, because we're talking about the best players in the world. And what we have also shown is that when we took the players through our visual diagnostic system and we were able to help them find out what do they see best, color, black and white, shapes, lines, we were able to improve every player's alignment. And so it's really important that your technology works and it's simple. And that's what we feel so great about, is the adjustable alignment technology. Is it something that everybody can relate to?
So there are basically a dozen different alignment aids that can be switched out of either the mallet style or the traditional blade style head in this series. And the initial putter that, you know, when you buy, you get a bag with three. How did you come up with the three that are kind of the ones you get out of the gate, and then the other nine that kind of made this happen? Like, how did you find that these were the three best ones that the most people would fit into? And then how did you, generally speaking, come up with all of these combinations that will pretty much fit any person, no matter how they look at a golf ball or how they look at the world?
Yeah, well, 50% science, 50% tour players. We have one of our investors is actually a visual arts expert, and she's been contracted by colleges and government to help with things like target shooting, archery, and she has a lot of great theories about how people see things, and that helped us. And then we combine that with the research that we've done in the past at Odyssey and Never Compromise, and here with the Happy Putter, and that kind of took us down this path of a very simple assumption, which is that every person sees things differently. So if you and I went out and we found, you know, 10 of your people who follow your site, I could almost guarantee you that all 10 of them are going to have different visual preferences. Some will see color better. Some will see black and white. Some will see lines. Some will see shapes. And so we started that as a foundation, and we started developing guides. And then what we did is we took them to the tour players. And we, as I mentioned, we worked with hundreds of tour players over the last years. And we've said, what do you like? What do you see best? And that's evolved. And so we probably tested close to 50 different alignment guides, and now we've settled in on the 12 that we think are most helpful. They are unique enough to where people get a variety, but they're also family-based to where if you have a tendency, they'll fit into one of these groups. And so it's a lot of science, it's a lot of tour player feedback, but ultimately, you know, that's how great products are developed. You know, you take a very sound scientific theory that you know you can count on, and then you see what the best players in the world want, and then you combine them, and yet sometimes you can get lucky and create a market leader.
I can't imagine this was getting lucky. So obviously you came back to golf for a reason. How long did you spend from deciding, all right, I'm going to get back into golf, to where you are now with iAlign?
So when I left the golf industry, you know, it was pretty exhausting going through the Odyssey and Never Compromise experiences. You know, it's hard to start a company and have success. And, you know, you just always those sleepless nights of whether you're going to make payroll and this and that. It's a tough gig. And so after the Never Compromise experience, I was really a little bit burnt out. So I wanted to try some new things. But I always had love for the golf industry, and especially for the people within the industry. And then I was blessed to, you know, I maintained a lot of my friendships with people at Callaway and TaylorMade and Titleist and Ping and the big companies. And they were always kind of just, you know, inquiring with me as to what I was doing. And ultimately I had a chance to interview for a job, in the golf industry, a fairly high profile job. And as I was going through that process, I was studying the golf industry again, and I realized the putter category had gone a little stale and had shrunk significantly. And I thought, you know, if I don't get this big gig, I'm going to actually go ahead and try to start another putter company and see if we could do it a third time. And so that's how it came about. And I feel blessed that it's worked out the way it has, because I really think the Happy Putter they've got a chance to do something special again. You know, it's nice when you have a technology that nobody else has, and when you have a price point that nobody else has, that's a good thing. And one of my favorite, metaphors or analogies, whatever you call it, is that the easiest race to win is the one that you run by yourself, because you eventually get to the finish line. And so we certainly had our missteps along the way. You know, I wish that I was better and didn't have so much trial and error, as I'm sure my investors do as well. But I think the good news is, I think that we found a way to do the hardest thing in the golf industry, is we've created a product that actually helps golfers that people want, because we're really starting to get some momentum. Our sell-through has been really strong. And again, I think the bottom line is we have something that nobody else is offering, and it's at a reasonable price point, so that it opens up the market to all golfers, not just, you know, the guys who can afford, or, and women who can afford, you know, $300-$400 putters.
You're getting some validation too from one of the best golfers on the planet. Lexi Thompson is playing the iLine series this year. She made that commitment. She made that very public at the LPGA opener in Bermuda a couple of weeks ago. We talked a little bit about this at the PGA show, but I wanted you to communicate to people what the reaction has been to people who are either familiar with Happy Putter or not, and knowing that one of the top three women's golfers on the planet is playing your putter.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great thing for us, and we're really, grateful to Lexi and her father, Scott, for giving us this opportunity. I mean, the great thing is, you know, we've always felt that we would eventually break through with some tour players, because we knew our technology could help them. And even over the last couple of years, we've had some great players like Christina Kim and Stacey Lewis and Steve Pate and Will Wilcox, you know, players on the regular tour who work with us. And they've always been very complimentary about our alignment system. They've always said, you know, your putter is the easiest putter I've ever used to line up. And so we talked to Lexi's dad over the off season, and he said that Lexi would like to work with our putter again because she was struggling with her alignment a bit. And so we worked with her, got her a putter, and we didn't really have any idea, you know, what was going to happen. But we got actually Lexi posted an Instagram post the week before the Bahamas, practicing with our putter, and just to show how incredible she is. I mean, she had like 90,000 views over the next couple of days. And so, and then she went out and she played very well in the Bahamas. She finished, I think, the week fourth in putting stats, and she made, the greatest thing about that is that sometimes putting stats can be misleading, but what was really nice was that she looked so confident over the putts. And she made a high volume of putts in that 10 to 20 foot range, which is kind of what I call the championship range. If you're making putts in that 10 to 20 foot range, you're going to win a lot of tournaments. And so she made a couple bombs. She missed a couple, you know, shorties that I wish she hadn't have. But I think overall it was really positive. And I know that when a player looks confident on the greens, they putt better. And I think that's really what we're trying to give golfers, whether it be, you know, Lexi, the best woman player in the world, or whether it be, you know, one of your listeners who struggles to break 100. I think that if we can help somebody think less on the green, we can help them. Because if somebody, the biggest problem when you don't line up accurately is subconsciously you know that. And that's why you decelerate most commonly, because you're not committed to your line, because you just don't think you're lined up right. And all those, you know, those things like pulling, pushing, decelerating, that happens because you're not confident. So if we can get a golfer to say, gosh, I know I'm lined up properly every time, then all they're going to think about is how hard do I hit it? And if it's like anything, the less you think, the more successful you're going to be. And so, and that's what it looked like with Lexi. It looked like she was thinking very little. She had confidence in where the ball was going to go, and she was playing some great strokes, and that's why she made so many putts.
Professional validation is fantastic, and it obviously helps raise awareness in a really easy way when people see the blue PVD and they see happy written across the face. They kind of realize something different is being used here. So it spurs people to go online and look for Brainstorm Golf and look for the happy putter. What was the traffic like as that started to kind of hit TV sets? And I've seen it with when Stacey Lewis has used the putter in the past, but with the iLine series, what was kind of the reaction from your perspective as a company from the public when people started seeing that on the LPGA telecast?
It was really impactful, and I think it's you've got to give credit to the LPGA Tour and the incredible players who are out there that they have really emerged as opinion influencers in the golf industry. For us, it was even more apparent because we got the good grace that Lexi's first week using the putter was during the PGA show in Florida, the big merchandise show. And so we had so many people coming in saying, oh, I heard Lexi Thompson's using your putter, and I saw this article, and I saw this Instagram post. And so we saw an immediate impact on our sales. And, you know, the funny thing is, where we saw a lot of increase was internationally. You know, the LPGA is very influential in the Asian markets especially. And so I think we had, I hate to say this much percentage growth, but the reaction was very strong. And web traffic, like you said, has been up. And thank you for, you know, for noticing that, you know, there's a reason, you know, people think I'm crazy or I'm attention, you know, deficit because the putter's blue and it's called happy. And it's probably true. I am crazy and I am, you know, attention deficit person. But I think that the other thing is we understand that when you're a little company and you want to be a big company, you're completely reliant on word of mouth. And so we have to build in a trademark look. You know, at Odyssey, it was the insert. You know, at Never Compromise, it was the black, gray, black. You know, for other companies like TaylorMade, you know, the white driver. You know, so we had to have a look that when people saw our putter and they saw the blue putter, they wouldn't know that's a happy putter, but they would know it's not an Odyssey or a Ping or a Scotty or a TaylorMade. And so that's the first step is creating consumer curiosity. And then the happy name, you know, a lot of people, again, we get criticized for it, but from a marketing perspective, you know, we've always had the philosophy, if everybody likes it, you haven't done a good job of really pushing the envelope. And so we like things that some people like and some people hate, but everybody talks about. And the happy putter, certainly, you know, whether you like the name or whether you don't like the name, you're going to remember the name. And, you know, our philosophy is, like, with Never Compromise, people said, you know, what a strange name. And I was like, well, you know, if we're successful, people will think it's the greatest name ever. And if we're not successful, who cares? So it's kind of the same thing with the happy putter. You know, if a happy putter can become, you know, a market leader, people will think that it was the greatest name ever. And if it doesn't, then it won't be because of the name. It'll be because we screwed something else up. But no, we like to be different. We like to stand out. And it's not because of anything else except for the fact that we need word of mouth to help us grow, and the blue and the happy will help us do that.
To that end, word of mouth, obviously getting instructors, PGA professionals, people at the green grass and grassroots level work with golfers every day, having them aware of Happy Putter and what it can mean for a golfer is paramount, really important. So what has that reaction been like, especially from the PGA merchandise show, from people who may have not seen the Eyeline series in the past, but did in Orlando? What was that interaction like?
I think the nicest thing we heard, or that we hear consistently from PGA professionals, you know, and people in the golf industry, is they see us as refreshing. You know, they immediately recognize that we have something that nobody else has. And then when we tell them a little bit more about the science behind the technology, they appreciate it more. Because it's one thing to be different. I mean, some people are different just for the sake of being different. But when you're different with a purpose, then that's really where the magic happens. And so, yeah, we're different. We're offering something that nobody else has. But we also know that it addresses people's biggest weaknesses on the greens, and it actually helps players. I mean, I'm sorry to be repetitive, but the fact that, you know, again, we tested over 400 of the best players in the world, and one lined up accurately, and of the remaining 399-plus, we fixed every one of those person's alignment to make it get better because we toned into their visual preferences. That's the most important thing we can do. And so I think that the reaction we've gotten from the golf world has been, oh, it's neat that you have something that nobody else has, and it's cool that it works.
I guess kind of the last part of the putter I want to highlight with everybody, that if you haven't seen the review or seen the putter before, is we've talked about Eyeline having 12 different alignment markers, but the ease with which you can change it out and effectively have a new feature on your putter is really remarkable. When you were designing the interchangeable alignment markers, what was the thought process behind that, so as to make people not have to spend 150, 200, you know, basically go buy a new putter every time you felt like it wasn't working anymore? How did you come up with something so simple that can effectively transform a putter but still feel comfortable and familiar in the player's hand?
Yeah, well, it's a great segue to something, you know, I've talked about briefly before, which is called lazy eye syndrome. And it's, again, you know, having spent over 20 years in the putter market and having studied consumers as closely as we've studied them over the years, another theory that we have, and it's right at this point, it's still a qualitative theory. We don't have enough data to call it a quantitative theory yet. But basically, I think, you know, you and I have talked about how the fact that there's something to be said for putters going stale. When you look at the same putter over and over again, sometimes you can't line it up. And there are brain development theories and cognitive development theories that talk about how your brain, when it sees the same thing over and over again, or when it does the same thing over and again, it functions at a lower level. So a good example is if you drive the same way to work every day, your brain shuts down because it knows what to do, you know? And so if you take a different route, you think more, you know, that's why, you know, they talk about picking up new skills later in life, whether it be a musical instrument or art or something like that, just to get your brain to function at a higher level. And so it's the same thing with putters. If you look at the same putter over and over again, you don't focus as much, your alignment suffers. And we've actually, there's a really big tour player who worked with us for a while, and she was lined up consistently off target. We took her to the system, had her lined up perfectly on target. I visited her about a month after she switched putters, and she was starting to shift back right again. And so what we did is we shifted out her alignment guide, put in a new one, and she would line up perfectly again. And we were like, wow, that is really impactful. And so this lazy eye syndrome is real. But the thing that's great about our putter is if you have to switch putters to address your lazy eye syndrome, well, then you have to adjust to a new feel, you know, new distance control, all those different things. For our putter, all you have to do is change the guide, but everything else stays consistent. And I tell you, it's really neat because when I work with tour players or just any players, and you take them to the different guides and you see how much their alignment is affected, it is really, really interesting to show how much impact your alignment guide has on your putting stroke. And so, anyways, you know, it's one of those things. This lazy eye syndrome is real, we believe. And the fact that you can, like you said, easily change out your guide just as you're starting to struggle on the greens, it's a huge advantage. And you know, to the other point you made, which is, you know, we're in a world today of customization. Everybody wants what they want, right? And we're also in this world of modularization. So our putter is a little bit like a modular putter, to where just keep changing it to what you need. You know, so instead of spending another, you know, $300 if you're in that high-end lane, or even if you're in the $150 range, you know, we send you three guides so you can actually change them out if you want. And then we actually are offering more guides that you can just buy a pack and even get more options if you choose that.
All right, so hopefully we whet people's appetites or pique their curiosity one way or the other. So then what's the next step for someone who's heard our conversation and said, you know what, I want to give this thing a try? How can they go get fit, check their alignment, and wade into the world of the iAlign series?
Well, I mean, you can learn more about our system by going to our website, which is just brainstormgolf.com. There's been tons of YouTube videos with me taking people through a visual diagnostic system. So people could look and see online if they just did a Google for happy putter, and a ton of stuff will come up. In terms of actually going to try the product, you know, we have a store locator on our website, which you can look, but we have some great retail partners. PGA Tour Superstores, Carl's, Pro Golf Discount, you know, we're also getting more and more country clubs and greengrass locations bringing their product in all the time. And so we are hopeful that they're going to find it in their local pro shops. But if not, just give us a call, you know, at our 844-PUT-HAPPY is our toll-free number. And you can also ask us for the nearest location near you that might have the putters. But a good way to start is going to our website. That has a lot of information.
And then for folks who head over there, can you talk to them through a little bit doing the eye alignment test through your app and figuring out, hey, I do have an alignment problem, or which alignment markers in the eye alignment series would fit best for them?
Correct. Yeah, we have an app too that allows you to go through and just test with any smartphone, whether it be an Apple or a Samsung. And so you can go through and you can download the Happy Putter app on both of those at no cost, and it'll give you more information. But we still probably recommend our video that kind of breaks down the process and exactly how to do it with your putter. And that's a, you know, that's a really, really good tool because it's very easy to understand when I take you through the video.
Well, the first part of solving any problem is admitting that there is one in the first place. So hopefully people who are listening to this who, if you are not the one guy out of 400 people that lined up putting correctly that you studied, hopefully you realize you probably have a problem and can use some help. So hopefully over to brainstormgolf.com and find out more and get on the Happy Putter train before everybody else does, because you're going to be a trendsetter. So, Vikash, thank you so much for being on the show. I really love talking putters with you, and hopefully we can do it again.
Yeah, I really enjoy it, Ryan. Thank you for all you do. And as a little company trying to be a big company, we really appreciate the support.
Well, from one little guy to a bigger little guy, I appreciate it as well. So thanks again.
Thanks to Vikash Sanyal again for being on the show. I could talk to him for a long time about putters, and I cannot tell you that there are many nicer people that I've met in the sport of golf than Vikash. Just a brief story. At the PGA Merchandise Show, we met for, 15, 20 minutes or something like that. I had finally met in person. He put his arm around me like he knew me for 20 years and was just so happy, hence the name of the putter maybe, to be back at the show, to be talking about the thing that he created, and to share the energy and passion that he has for his product with other people. And you could see it resonate, just seeing people come through the booth and have conversations. And I want to root for a guy like that. I want to root for a guy and help a guy that has an innovative product, has great energy, treats people the right way, and will do anything to make sure that his customers have a great experience and get everything possible out of his product that they can. So head over to brainstormgolf.com. Check out their products. The putters are $130. I mean, they're, by modern standards, borderline cheap, but they're made from great material with great design. They have a quality grip, quality head. The ILI technology is real. Give a try for yourself. Again, for $130, you can't really buy a whole lot in golf that can change your game, transform your game for that kind of money. But you can do it with the ILI putter. And if you use promo code GNN10 at checkout, you're going to save 10%. So we'll help you save anywhere from $13 to $15, depending on how it all works out and what you purchase with your putter. So, again, thanks to Vikash for being on the show. Thanks to you for listening to us, as always. If you can, and you listen to us through iTunes, please give us a 5-star review. Head over to our podcast page, and all you got to do is just hit that 5-star button. We appreciate it greatly. It helps us reach more people. Next week, we're going to work on a guest. We haven't figured that all out yet, but we'll have plenty to talk about with what happens at the Genesis Open at Riviera, whether Tiger makes the cut or not, whether after round one, Dustin Johnson makes the cut or not, or blows up every single one of your one-and-done leagues, and all the other things that come out of the world of golf. I'm Ryan Balaji saying thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on the 19th Hole Golf Show.